All right, now here we go. So that combination, why would ego be so invested in getting us to believe that we've done something wrong or we've made a mistake and that we should be self-conscious about that, embarrassed, feel bad about that? When we put all of those together, we can see what a benefit that is to ego.
Yeah.
It gets a lot of juice out of getting us to believe that there's something embarrassing about making a mistake, that there is such a thing, or doing something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because why else would there be self-hate with that? I mean, that's just, the whole thing is so artificially contrived.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it really is. So I went and I had a quick look at, there is nothing wrong with you, and it just fitted with all of that. And I just loved seeing it. I thought it was really helpful. So, thank you. And I think that I realized how I just... I can see that I'm so good at seeing the story these days, but even so, sort of seeing how I can, just not even be there and just be believing it. So it's just been really helpful to see that level of how I'd been going along with it, and then just realizing, and it was helpful to read There's Nothing Wrong With You after looking at the embarrassment. Because it fitted really well with what you said the other day, which I love and I've been doing every day in every way. I'm getting better and better, mm-hmm. Something happened. It wasn't quite my intention. I'd have rather it had gone. It's all about learning, isn't it? And, being the best person that we can in each, moment. And so, well, okay, I'm going to learn from this, and there aren't going to be any beatings, and there isn't going to be any embarrassment.
Yeah, again, with that, we can see how ego contrives to keep a person stuck, right?
So
we shouldn't do anything that could result in a mistake or doing something wrong, which essentially means never do anything. Never try anything new, right? Just always
live.
Do this. Yeah, don't live. Just try, do everything, make yourself as small as possible, and try to do only the things that you know that you can do perfectly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's
a
prescription for suffering.
Yeah. Oh.
So
no, and I don't want
thank
that,
you.
So I'm going to carry on.
Exactly. No, thank you. We're expanding.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye,
you two. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. Sorry about starting that recording at that time, Sherry. For some reason, it toggled off, and I noticed that it wasn't on.
Uh-huh. Well, it doesn't matter. It got there when it got there.
Yes, it did. Well, mm-hmm. What I was noticing as you were having that conversation is how layered it is, that the if we stuck with the embarrassment, we wouldn't see the self-hate, and so that and that lovely observation that sometimes what is not charged is where actually we haven't looked, because it's okay, it's embarrassment, it's not hatred, so I don't have
not
to examine it that deep. It's not that big a deal, and there's such a gold mine of beliefs and assumptions hidden behind that in terms of the self-hate.
And to realize how confined it can keep us with that. Well, it's not that big a deal. Yet it's controlling, it's able to control so much of my behavior and my attitude toward myself and everybody else. It's just, I didn't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna calling from Seattle.
Well, hello.
Hi. I'm really identified with egocentric karmic conditioning right now.
Well, Anna, if I may,
yeah.
You're not completely identified, or we would not be having this conversation, right? So there's good news there. Okay, what's gotcha?
Well, just kind of physically, and it feels just like complete neurological fatigue. So that's of course one thing that ego really can beat me up about, just that my brain is, you know, not working. That has always been there in my life.
So your brain doesn't work the way the voices say it should.
Yeah.
Right. Now, it's obviously working well enough to take in the information about how it should be working and isn't working and what that says about you and why you should feel bad, right? It's working well enough to do it. Now, do you find that interesting? So if your brain is going to stop working, how about turning off the voices?
Yeah.
But they're just fine, right? They're just fine. And they're able to point out to you what these other things are that you're not able to do well. Huh. How does that work? That's very selective brain function, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the way the brain feels, I guess. And my physical body.
Just don't feel perky and quick.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, some days I literally pretty much can't get out of bed because of muscles and stuff like that. And then the story about guilt, the ego really has me on that one because it's such a bad one. I wouldn't want to say it in public. But... And that's another one ego really has, me on.
So you mean how you are, that produces guilt or something else that it's got you with?
Yeah, something else, like a thing I did.
A thing you did?
Something
you did in the past?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And are you doing it currently?
I need to get a private appointment for that one.
Okay. And are you doing it currently?
No.
No, it's in the past.
When I was a child. Yeah.
When you were a child?
Yes.
When you were a child. And it's still getting you to feel guilty about something a child did. I'm not going to point to your age. But a few years ago,
not all the time, but when I interact with my brothers, for example, or when the question comes up, what do I feel guilty about?
Uh-huh.
But when I don't think about, or like, for example, it just has me on it because I wouldn't want to say it in public, you know, because it's one of those that,
You want to say it in public? You want to say it in public so your entire sangha knows and it will have no more ammunition to beat you up over?
I think it'll be really bad if I say it.
Anna, it's what it's holding over your head is you can't say this because it's awful. Okay, and people will, think badly of you. They'll judge you, they'll hate you, they'll think you're disgusting, whatever it is that those voices do. So then you say it out loud, and everybody goes, wow, well, that was a little kid. That doesn't have very much to do with you. And
okay, I'm going to say it then.
Good woman.
Well, it was just, I guess, when I was a child, I want, like, you know how children want to play doctor games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wanted to do those kind of stuff things with my brothers a mm-hmm. little bit. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I never forced anybody, but I guess I think I did, you know, kind of try to persuade them or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Once, yeah. Not super often, but I remember that that happened.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And
yeah.
So, Anna, there's a phrase, playing doctor, right?
Yeah.
Which you just used. Now, you could use that phrase, and we would all know what you were talking about. And the reason that we would all know what you were talking about is it's a very, very common thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very much, yeah, it's very much a little kid thing, right? Lots and
yes.
lots of little kids. Yeah, lots and lots and lots of little kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes. So I hope
okay.
you feel like you just took off a heavy jacket or something, right?
Yeah.
Or a straight jacket. Yeah. So when that comes up again, you can just say, yeah, yeah, right. I'm sorry. I can't get too much going about that. Those are little kids. They did not, nobody was harmed. Nobody was hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just little kids
yeah,
doing what
good.
Little kids do. Yeah. Very good.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, what's so good about doing this, bringing conscious awareness to this, with all of it, you know, there's never anything behind it. It's just a
mm-hmm.
story. Even on a, you can't, there are days when you can't get out of bed. Okay. All that's happening is you can't get out of bed. Now, without
yeah.
what that means about you and your brain is malfunctioning and your body is, you know, without all those hateful stories, then it's just a situation. And we can look at it and say, okay, well, what might be possible? What
mm-hmm.
what might be possible under these circumstances? How can we take care of her? How can we help her out? What does she need? What would be good to offer right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I've never had a single experience of your brain malfunctioning. I keep waiting for it, so I'm pretty excited about that story going away, so that you get to just
mm-hmm.
simply be present to the nuances of the fluctuations of life animating a physical form from moment to moment and day to day.
Yeah. Me too.
You too. Okay. All right. Thank you. Take
Thank
care
you.
Of her, okay? All right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. What an extraordinary act of courage.
Mm.
Right, Cherry, when we go up against those voices and just put it
Aww.
Out there?
Oh.
Yeah.
Nothing's
yeah.
going to stop that woman.
No. No.
Right?
And, yeah. It's and we talk about it so often how what's taboo is, you know, a curiosity that's natural, that if it was allowed to be what it was, then it's just what it is.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's the all of those constrictions and the beliefs and the what we're conditioned about all of that that is
yeah.
is torturous.
Yeah. Yeah. And all made up.
And all made up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All this stuff about what's natural. Well,
yes.
Why do people have to be conditioned about what's natural?
What's natural.
Natural.
Exactly.
It's natural. Right?
Yeah.
And why do we need all of this conditioning about, on and on. All this conditioning about things that where we're told that we have to be this way and we have to think this way and we have to feel this way and we can't feel that way and we can't think that and we can't do that. Really? Why?
Yeah.
Why
why do we need such brainwashing to be natural creatures? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
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 Hello, June.
Hey. Well, oh, gosh. That was a very powerful conversation, wasn't it?
I felt it was, yes.
Yeah.
It was for me.
Yeah, I felt liberated by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because whether we have a specific like that, or it's just a general this and that and something else, to be able to look at it and say, well, really? Really? And realize, no, actually, I don't need to feel bad about that. I don't need to feel guilty about that. I don't need to be embarrassed by that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, concerning the assignments, I was working along and I realized this is just a long, several-day, multi-day projection exercise.
Uh-huh.
And, I've lived a pretty good while, and I've been looking at things for a pretty good while, and I can come up with lots of examples of who comes to mind with these various traits or states or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them are not projections.
Oh, that's interesting. I had not seen that. That you, what you got was the who, who comes to mind, right? And that throughout a lifetime, we have people in those places that we are projecting these things onto.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and I look at the list of things here and... most of them I probably experience every day. You know, within myself. And if I take it upon myself to go out among people, if I'm paying attention, I'm going to project them onto them every day. Most of them.
But your point being, what you've realized, or what you're saying here, is other people are actually not required.
Other people are not required. Yes.
We'll do all of this inside our own head, whether we ever encounter another human being in the course of a day or not.
Yes.
Isn't that helpful to see?
That's my experience. Well, it is. It is. And to tie it into the previous conversation, almost all of them have at least one semi-horror story attached to them. You know, the fear, hatred, guilt, embarrassment, and the anxiety ones. And they're just that. They're just stories that stuck somewhere and the neural pathways, and can you hear my cat in the background?
Yes, we can hear him. He's very engaged in this conversation.
Yes, there are things stuck in his neural pathways
right.
that we don't even want to think about.
So that's really helpful, isn't it, as a disidentification, because so many people really believe that when a story comes around for the 150,000th time, it's it's still real. It still means something. So when I was like, Nana, you know, when did this happen? When, you know, is this happening now? Is this something that you're doing now? And there, so often it is something that happened when I was, you know, in my 20s and I'm now decades older, or it happened when I was a teenager, or something that happened in childhood. And the story is told on a regular basis, and all the emotions are there as if it were happening right now. And to be able to see that, to step back from that, and the important thing to me of your realization that other people are not required for any of this, is that we get to see that we have the power to change it. There's nobody else involved in this. It's all inside me, and I can stop doing this anytime I choose to. It's serving no purpose. It has no value. The only thing it does is perpetuate suffering, and I can stop it whenever I choose. That's powerful.
Yeah, it really is. And one more bit of it, and then I will bid the adieu, is, as I said, I've been doing this practice for a long time, and recognizing stories for what they are and realizing that process has never stopped. It just keeps going. There's always another one in the background that's going to be drug out yet again to be finally recognized for what it is and let go. And it's just freedom after freedom after freedom. And there's so much in this life to be grateful for. And I think that just pretty much tops the list.
So a recognition that what's going on when these things arise and we recognize them for what they are and let them go, the realization that that is the process of ending karma. When we embrace it and let it go, that karma is ended. As long as we buy into the story and feed it, we feel bad, we feel guilty, we feel afraid, we feel hatred, whatever it is that's going on with that same old story, then we are perpetuating the karma. And to embrace it and let it go releases the karma. It's done. We don't have to suffer over that any longer. Even if, the neural pathways slide off there and it comes around again, we recognize it. Oh, yeah, that's old. We let that go. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
And we recognize the process.
We recognize the process.
We recognize that repetition.
Yes.
The content of the story changes. The process does not.
Yes. And so we can actually speed up the content, right? We can welcome new content.
Start looking for it. Yeah.
Start looking for it. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you, June.
Thank you.
Thanks, June. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so I'm going to squeeze the next caller in.
All right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Georgia.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, it's Winnie. I'm very inspired by a previous caller to share something that came up for me around the guilt, and I will share it just to partly continue letting it go. But I also saw so much in the process, and I did this really long two-handed recording and listening practice around that. And so I want to start doing that, I think, for all these assignments, like do a two-handed recording and listening practice on, you know, whatever comes up in the assignment. Because it was very healing to do that this morning. So I saw it like I was watching a movie, how the situation came up, and the situation was when I was also a child, one of our dogs, our beloved poodle of many, many, many years, followed me and ended up dying, ended up getting, like, froze to death on the street. Kind of a long story, but and thought about that in forever. But it's when I thought about it this morning, I mean, I just cried like there was no tomorrow. But what made it even worse, conditioning would come in and, like, replay it. I mean, I don't even remember everything that happened so long ago, but I saw conditioning, like, making it into, like, a horror movie, practically. Like, just, you know, exaggerating, embellishing, and just, like... And I'm sure...
filling in any blanks. If there was anything that wasn't actually in your memory... It would give a little jolt of horror to fill in that gap, right?
And it's like, I don't remember anybody, like, talking to me about it or no consoling me. But I did on my recorder this morning. You know, it's like I just said everything that little girl wanted to hear then. And, but seeing what conditioning does with these things was really eye-opening.
And that it's doing that all the time, right?
Yes.
If we connect it back up to, you know, all the way back to Anna talking about doing something at work, it'll do the same thing, right? It might be more subtle, or it might not be more subtle. Mm-hmm. It might just be that we're not attending to what it's actually doing, but it is filling in every tiny little gap with something awful.
Yes. Yes.
Do you get a sense of that?
Well, what I did see, too, was how it... So I was looking at this memory, you know, and I'm crying, and I'm recording and listening, and I'm seeing conditioning, and it comes in with, well, and you were... It probably made you really mean to your students last week. I mean, it's like, it just, like,
what?
Was taking, I know, it's like, what in the world does that have to do with anything? But it was, like, trying to take this and not only exaggerate it and make it into a horror movie, but then try to apply it to current
daily
life.
That's right. And two things about that. If you weren't doing this work, and you weren't paying attention, when it slides in some sentence about you being mean to your students last week, you're just programmed to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say, what do you mean? What are you talking about? When? What did I say? Who's? No, you just feel bad. You just assume it must be true, and you feel bad.
Exactly. And that starts a whole other process of how try to make myself be super kind and patient all the time to everybody.
That's right. But see, it still doesn't work because last week you were mean to your students.
Right.
So now you have to try harder. And you still get a beating. Yeah.
It's really evil. It is. It's just, it's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really grateful because it's like my commitment is to make peace with all of myself, everything that's ever happened before I die, if I can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you're really grateful.
Because it's what we were talking about with June. It really accelerates. Once you catch on to the process, then it accelerates. You're already in the place of making peace with. And so now there's that open, that context. And the details just keep coming in. So, again, it's twofold. Not only is that happening in that releasing process, but you're living now in a completely different orientation to life, one of openness and receptivity and expansiveness and acceptance. Yeah?
Yes.
So everything moves more quickly.
So you've
got
good.
Plenty of time, Tony. Plenty of time.
Thank you. That's reassuring.
Thank you both so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tony. That brings us to the end of the show. And our assignment for today is, who in your life comes to mind when you consider envy?
Envy. All right. Very good. Thank you, Ashwini. And thank you,
Sherry. And we'll talk to everyone tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.